Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here again this morning and worship the Lord together. I was definitely blessed to be here already this far this morning. I appreciated the devotions and the Sunday school and the songs that were sung. They really meant a lot to me this morning. I'm going to be reading out of Luke chapter 8 today. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 39. We're talking about the first missionary here, and at first it doesn't appear like that could be possible, but it is. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So at first glance, this does not look like missionary material at all. Here was a man that was, he'd had devils for a long time living in him. He didn't wear any clothing. Mark 5, verse 5 says he was in the mountains and the tombs day and night crying and cutting himself with stones. Men tried to help him. They tried to chain him up, possibly to keep him from hurting himself. But he just broke the chains. They couldn't bind him. This man's life was so controlled by the devil that he couldn't even help himself. So he was in huge trouble. And Jesus, you know, Jesus was a busy person when he was here. But I think he knew about this man that needed help on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So he went across the lake there. He was willing to risk his life to go save this man. On the trip over there, crossing the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up, and the disciples thought they were actually going to die. They woke up Jesus and said, "Master, Master, we perish." They were just sure that this was it. And then, of course, Jesus calmed the wind and the sea and went on their way. And I just had to think, are we willing to take the time that we need to help some helpless person? You know, some situations look impossible to us, but are we willing to take the time out of our busy schedule and help these people? Or maybe this situation doesn't look so helpless. Maybe it's just a young person that we know, or a younger person, that we need to come along beside and just encourage them. Maybe there's a small area in their life that's being controlled by Satan, and they just need that little bit of encouragement from an older person to come along beside them and help them, and help them to give this part of the area in their life that's being controlled by the devil, give it over to Jesus and let him work in that. I had to think of the story of the Good Samaritan. We know that story very well, how a man went up to Jericho and was caught by thieves there. And the first two people along, at least the first two people mentioned, were the priest and a Levite. And these would have been holy men of God, should have been. But they were too busy doing the Lord's work to help a person that was in need. They passed by on the other side and let him go. And then the Good Samaritan came along, and he took the time and the finances to help him out. He put him on his own beast, wrapped up his wounds, and took him to the inn and paid for his stay there, and said if there's any more charges that are due, that he would pay it when he stopped back by the next time. So what was this man's response when he met Jesus? This man, his name was Legion. I don't think that was his real name. That's what he answered when Jesus asked him. But what was his response when he met Jesus? And back in Mark 5, verse 6 again, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And I'm not sure how much control he had over his own himself. You know, possibly these devils made him do this. And, you know, today people respond differently to Jesus as well. There's several different ways that people respond when they meet Jesus. Some of them are open to him, and they accept him and make the changes they need to, like this man did. Some of them say, you know what, I've just been way too bad. There's no way that Jesus will accept me. I've just been too bad. I've been too wicked. There's no possible way that he can save me. But, you know, according to this story, I don't know that can be the case. This man here was in really, really bad shape, and Jesus saved him. So that kind of blows that theory out of the water. Other people say that they're good enough. They don't need Jesus. They can do this on their own. But we know that's not true either, because it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Maybe to bring this a little closer to home, what about when Jesus shows us, when the Lord shows us something in our lives, maybe just a small area in our lives that needs to be given over to him? How do we respond to that? Do we repent of that thing and turn that over to Jesus and let him control it, take it out of the devil's control and let Jesus control that part of our life? Or do we hang on to it? Do we hide it? Do we say, it's okay for me to do this? I can do this and be all right. I had to, just looking at this man's fellow countrymen, what their response was to Jesus in verse 35 to 37. It says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Brother West talked this morning about how when people see the glory of God, they're afraid. It brings fear to their hearts, and I think that's what happened here. Then it says, and they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils and was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. So they wanted Jesus to leave. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. And it could have had something to do with what it cost them for Jesus to be there. You know, these pigs that ran into the ocean, into the sea there, I think it's in Mark, it says that there was 2,000 of them. And I just quickly looked up yesterday at the current hog market value. Those those, if they were at fat hog prices around 200 to 230 pounds a piece, if that's what they were, that would have, they would have valued at $180,600 in today's market. So yeah, it was expensive, I imagine, for all those pigs to run over the hill and down into the sea and choke. But can you put a price on man's soul? I don't think we can. I was having a discussion one time. We were having a Jungle Breezes board meeting, and I asked some of them there, would we do all this for 10, to save 10 boys? And yeah, we would do that. And kept bringing the number down until we were down to one boy. Would we do it? Well, we had to admit we would do it, because you can't put a price tag on man's soul. So are we willing to take our time to go and help? I'm not sure if I'm rooting for Jonathan here or what, but I just had to think of that when he stood up and asked for that. Do we take the time that we need to when we run into people that need help? Just an interesting side note here. When Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, the evil spirit responded to him. He responded by saying, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" And this sounds like a respectful way for him to answer, but I really believe that this devil was trying to get the upper hand here. There's an ancient superstition that says that if you would say a person's full name, you would have spiritual power over him. Well, that didn't work in this case. And I'm so thankful today that we have a God that is more powerful than the God of this earth. I appreciated that song, "There is Power in the Blood." It really spoke to me this morning. The power that we can have in our life to overcome evil is really, really amazing. I think sometimes we underestimate just how powerful that is. Without the blood of Jesus in our lives, we don't stand a chance. As human beings, we have no power against Satan and his forces. So for us to be out there, wherever we're at, on the mission field or here at home, and serving the Lord, without that power over our lives, we don't stand a chance. So here we have this new convert that's experienced tremendous change in his life. He's gone from a desperately wicked person that couldn't even control himself to a believer in God. And here he is sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a beautiful picture from what he had been, a wild man that everybody was afraid of. And here he is sitting at the feet of Jesus. But he's got a big problem. His fellow countrymen do not want Jesus around, and Jesus needs to leave. And he wants to go along with him. Verse 38 says, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away and said to him, 'Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee.'" And that was the beginning of men going out and telling other men how great things that Jesus has done. And there's been missionaries doing that ever since. There's many, many missionary stories that could be told this morning. But I'd like to just share a story of two brothers back in the late 40s. They were both missionaries. They both had their different way of doing things. Bert was the older of the two. He was invited to Peru by a visiting missionary. And so Bert and his wife Colleen, they packed up their things and they moved to Peru. And they lived there for 62 years serving the Peruvian people. And they planted over 170 churches. Bert died in Peru in February 17th of 2012. And you could describe Bert's life as a as maybe like a faithful star that comes up every night, just a small star brightening its corner of the sky every night. Night after night, that star comes up. It's there every night. Goes across the sky. Next night, there it is. There it goes again. Night after night, being faithful, doing its thing. Not too many people have heard about Bert. On the other hand, Bert's younger brother, Jim Elliott, I think we all know about him. He's known by thousands around the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. He was faithful in what God called him to do. We probably all know about Jim Elliott and his four friends that were killed on that little sandbar down in Ecuador, killed by the very people that they were bringing the gospel to. You might describe Jim's life as a bright meteor that streaks across the sky, big and bright, and there's a big bang and a shower of sparks, and it goes out. But it brought glory to God. His life did. His life changed. Him and his friends' lives changed the way people do things. It encouraged a lot of people to go out and give their lives in spreading the gospel. They were a huge encouragement to a lot of people. So God can use both types of people. He really does. He can use the meteorites and the little stars. But I often wonder if he isn't more interested in those little stars that come up every single night. They're faithful. They brighten their corner of the sky, and they're there every single night. The husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, they get up every day. They go do the same thing that they did yesterday and brighten that little corner of their world that they're in. Daniel 12:3 says, "And they that would be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So back to the man that was in Luke there that was possessed with the devils. I don't know that he was ever mentioned in the Bible again. I don't know that we even know what his real name was. But notice that Jesus didn't send him out across overseas or to a far country. He said, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And that's exactly what he did. It says he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I believe that he was faithful in doing what Jesus asked him to do. He went home and he showed how great things that Jesus had done for him. And I'm sure that his life could be a walking message to the people around him after they recognized who he was, the man that they were so afraid of. They couldn't even pass by that way. But I pulled up a map of the area where he lived there on the east side of Galilee, and I couldn't help but notice that four of the churches that are mentioned in Revelation are in a close area right around that area where this man lived. And I don't know this, but I just had to wonder how much were these churches a result of this man's life? I don't know. It's possible that he could have made a huge difference there. Hopefully someday we'll know that. But I'm sure that he did leave a strong testimony in his hometown. And I just had to think, what kind of a testimony do I leave here? What kind of a testimony do we leave in this community right here at home? In closing, I'd like to just share another story about a missionary in Africa. His name was Raymond Bush. He had traveled far back into the interior of Africa in South Africa and was going through a village, and a young boy came up to him, just a young guy, and begged him to go back to the mission station with him so that he could learn how to read and write, so that he could give the gospel to his family. His father was a witch doctor, and he was afraid he was going to be killed in one of the tribal fights that they had, and his mother worked in the garden, and there was lions around, and they would often get killed by him, and he was worried about his brothers and his sisters. So this Raymond Bush agreed to take this boy in and teach him how to read and write and teach him about the Bible so that he could go back and be a witness for them. And it took him 9 weeks to get back to the mission station. But they made it back there, and he was there for quite some time, learning the language and learning how to read and all that. And finally one day, it was time to go back to the village. This little boy had been just anxious to get back to his people. And during this time when he was gone, he changed his name to Dustpan. He saw Raymond Bush's wife sweeping out the house one day, carrying all the dirt out in this dustpan. He wanted to know, what you call that little tool? She told him, it's a dustpan to carry out the dirt. He said, that's my name. From now on, I'm going to go back and I'm going to be a dustpan for Jesus. And the trip back was pretty rough. They got charged by a lioness at one point, and then when they got to camp, they noticed that little dustpan didn't make it into camp. But thankfully, he straggled in just before dark, and they could hear the lions roaring. His feet were bloody and blistered and bleeding on every step. But he made it into camp, and they actually had to carry him the rest of the way to his village. But he was determined to go back there and tell his family about the Lord. So he made it back, and Raymond Bush left him there. But he returned a year later, and there was little Dustpan with 364 Christians that were ready to be baptized by this Raymond Bush. So it was just a huge encouragement to me to read that story and to think about the difference that we can make in a young person's life if we just invest a little bit of time. It doesn't really take that much if we're willing to spend the time and invest in those people's lives. You know, we have boys camp coming up, girls camp, and I've had a lot of young boys come to me in different states, far from here, and tell me how they were encouraged. That point in their life, when they were at boys camp, they were encouraged to make that change and serve the Lord. So I guess my encouragement to us is, if we see that, if we see these opportunities to make a difference where we can help somebody out along the way, a young person, older person, it doesn't matter, but take that time that we need to and invest in that person's life. The return on that is just enormous. We can't even imagine, just like this dustpan and his 364 souls that were brought to the Lord in that 1 year. Where does it go from there? To me, that's just exciting when we can see things like that happening, and that can happen right here in Bonner's Ferry. So maybe let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to guide us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that's all-powerful, that enables us to go forward and to push on and to point souls to you and to serve you, Lord. I just pray that you would bless the church here and each person. Help us, Lord, to look for those opportunities that we can serve you and be faithful. Help us to be faithful to you and serve you and bring honor and glory to your name. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.